This podcast is brought to you by Kefir Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on kefirher.com.
Hi, I'm Renee.
And I'm Donna. Welcome to the Key for Her podcast.
In this series, we aim to educate and open up honest conversations with both medical professionals and real life women.
We want to shine a light on those topics that sometimes go unspoken about and help empower women to know what is key for their health and well-being.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Key for Her podcast. Today, Donna and I will speak to Aisling Fox from AOK Nutrition. So Aisling Fox is a nutritional therapist, a herbal medicine practitioner, and the owner of AOK Nutrition. Her area of expertise is in female hormones, fertility, health, and well-being.
Hello.
I've been waiting for this podcast for so long. Actually, we're so excited to have you here. So thank you.
I'm so delighted to be on. Thank you so much. I'm always honored. People think of me. I'm like, yes, I'd love to come on. So yeah, thanks so much. I'm delighted to be here today. Chatting about my favorite topic.
Yeah.
And you're stunning on Zoom as you are on all your other social media platforms. So lovely to finally get to chat to you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're so good.
She's literally glowing. Anyone that might be listening to this, if you haven't seen Aisling Fox, you live the healthy lifestyle and it shows. Like, you're literally glowing. Your skin is fabulous.
And thank you. Yeah, I do my best. I do. I think sometimes when you know so much, you're like, I actually have to do it. Because you see the other side. I always say to clients, like, some people come back to me and I'm like, they didn't realize they were living like level 7 their whole life. They didn't realize you could feel better. People come back, they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize that you can have more energy and your sleep can be better. So I feel like for me, because I have so much knowledge and I know how it feels to be really healthy, I try, and that's the motivation to do it, you know, like to actually feel good. And then the bonus is, like, if your skin looks nicer, that all the other good stuff comes along with eating well, you know.
You're absolutely glowing from the inside.
Exactly.
So for anyone that doesn't know about you, can you tell us a bit about yourself and AOK Nutrition and how you got into it and your background?
Yeah, so I set up my clinic in 2014. I qualified as a nutritional therapist. I guess my background's a little bit different because my mum is actually a herbalist and she set up a naturopathic clinic back in 1994. I'm laughing now being like, oh my God, people must have thought she was mental. Like, she left a job as a midwife and a nurse to go and train as a herbalist and train in reflexology and natural medicine. So for me, I was kind of brought up with that from when we were really young. Like, if I got sick, I'd go and take vitamin C. That was just what we did, or I'd take echinacea or whatever it was. So for me, I was growing up with natural medicine. I went on, then I trained in nutritional therapy myself. I set up my clinic, which is based in Portmarnock. But nowadays, thanks to COVID, like, we're pretty much half online as well, which is amazing because you can reach so many more people. And I guess the whole kind of ethos in the clinic is we look at trying to find the root of the problem. So whether you're coming with acne or coming with poor immune system or gut issues, like, instead of just giving you something that will just fix it on the day, we're trying to find the why. Why is it happening? What can we do to prevent you getting sick again? And I think as well, my mum having the background of medicine, like, we're so open to medicine. So sometimes you might see practitioners and it's very much us and them, where, like, I'd be the first to say to my client, oh my God, you need an antibiotic, go and get it. So it's very much, from my perspective, we're kind of complementary in terms of everything. So we're doing everything from herbal medicine to nutritional therapy to, you know, very open to conventional medicine as well. So I think I'm probably known for hormones. Again, I know we're talking about that today. So I think I kind of just fell into it over the last couple of years. It's an area that I am so interested in. And I think, like, my advice to anyone who even might be listening, studying nutrition, I'm always like, find an area you're really passionate about and be really good in that area, because it's so broad. Like, I have no interest now in studying, like, seeing someone for running the marathon. Like, it's just not something that I'm not even good at that anymore. Like, you know, your sports nutrition. So I think it's an area that I was quite passionate about. And then I think the more I talked about it, the more people were interested in it. And it's kind of, there's such a need for this conversation. Yeah. I always say we need to learn these things in school. Like, I definitely didn't learn these things in school. And then this year I went back and I studied herbal medicine myself. So I just qualified as a herbalist back in August 2022.
Well,
the lie that I did, it was so intense. Like, you know, halfway through something, I'm like, why am I doing this? Like, working such a busy clinic and back in college, but I am delighted. So a huge part of my training and how I see clients is I would incorporate things like really old, like, traditional Chinese medicine into my practice, like Ayurveda medicine, which is like old Indian medicine. Plus, I'm like, let me see your blood. So I just see it's like the best of all different types of therapies together, I guess. So yeah, that's kind of us in a nutshell. So myself and my mum own our clinic now together. So it's nice being business with family.
Well, yeah, am I right in saying like that's a really unusual and new approach? Or do you feel like that kind of evolved over the last few years? Like probably back in, when was it, 1992 or 94, when your mom set it up? Was probably a bit out there, right, back then?
Oh, 100%. Imagine, she left job as a nurse to become a herbalist. I'm sure the neighbours were like, well, Roisin's gone mental. Like, she's four kids at home. And even now, me as an adult and, like, married, I'm like, oh, my God, my dad to support her with that.
Yeah, fair play.
Like, I was four at the time. Like, you know, my eldest brother is, what, like, 10 years old? And we still, like, what, like, four kids under the age of 15. Like,
that was full on.
And then she have, like, a personal experience that kind of drove her to heading in that direction then?
Yeah, so my eldest brother had really bad eczema, like, his whole life. My mum, obviously being a nurse, even to this day, she's mad into research. She wants to know everything, how things work. So she tried everything under the sun from a medicine perspective. And like, she had friends who were doctors and nurses, and she was working in Temple Street at the time, and Kieran was starting secondary school. And she says she was bawling, crying. She's coming down the list, finishing her shift. And this woman was like, are you okay, honey? Like, you know, this elder woman. And my mom was like bawling. She's like, my son's starting school next week. His skin's in bits. Like, my mom used to have to, like, mittens on Kieran. And sometimes she's like, we'd actually have to tie down his hands at nighttime because he'd scratch so much. Every day under the sun. And the woman actually gave my mom, not even herb medicine, actually homeopathic remedies. And homeopathy in itself has so much controversy around it. It's not something that I've ever really used in clinic. Now, my mom is a believer in it just because she has seen it work. And she would use, my mom works a lot with kids even still, and she'd use it for that. So I thought that homeopathy is like the placebo effect. It's minute. It's
minute doses.
And it's, oh, like maybe it is, maybe it's not. But this actually cleared up Kieran's skin. So she gave it to him, and within, like, I don't know, 2 months, his skin cleared up. My mom was like, what is this witchcraft, basically?
So there's this whole other world opened up to her then.
And and then that made her go and study herbal medicines. Herbal medicine's a lot the same as homeopathic remedies. And that's, like, even someone listening who is homeopathic, it's not me being, like, condescending or anything like that. Like, herbs are plants. Most drugs are made from herbs, do you get me? So it's kind of, they're kind of different levels of it. Yeah, that was her kind of... her changing career. And it's so interesting growing up. My mum always used to say, like, my mum never advertised ever. So she's in business and she still hasn't advertised because she's a real, she believes, like, she's like, people are meant to come if they'll come. Like, you know,
if something works,
everyone's here for a reason. Like, and I feel like that's so much in my clinic, which is mad. Like, I feel like I'm guided to do certain things. I'm always just, if something happens that you're not happy with or kind of a bit disappointed, I'm like, well, happened for a reason. So I can see the same kind of guidance that she's always talked about, like, in terms of, I think if you're on the right path and you're doing what you're meant to do, things fall into place. Do you know what
I mean? It's a lovely way to live your life. And I try to do that myself, and I know Ren does as well. So just going back to your focus and your passion on hormonal health, was there a personal reason for that you decided to go that way? Or did you just see that there was such a need that you could help?
Not really. I actually never really had any, I guess probably growing up with a very good balanced lifestyle, I would say. Like, I never had major hormonal issues. I actually never went on any birth control. Like, I probably did. I was probably in the pill for like 3 months my whole life because I just was always like, oh, I'm not mad on that. So I kind of educated myself quite young on your fertile days. And it's literally 6 days of the whole month. I remember reading last week, there's 70 days a year you can get pregnant. 70 days out of 365.
But typical like, Irish. In Ireland, you used to have the fear and you'd be like,
oh, literally, this is it. If you have sex, you will die and get pregnant. Like,
yeah, so, it was betting to us all that fear.
So I guess not really, like, I didn't really have this big aha moment, but it was more when I started working with clients. When I first qualified, I was seeing everyone from a man in his older, you know, maybe in his 70s with high blood pressure, and another girl, like the marathon runner. And I kind of still see a variety of people, not just hormones now. But I think herbal medicine and natural medicine and nutrition are so powerful. Mm. And I'm sure you guys even seen it with your own supplements. Yeah. Like, there's so much we can do using nutrition for hormones that can change people's lives. And that's not even being dramatic. So I think knowing how much value I could give to people, that kind of made me even push it even more. And then the frustration behind it, like, again, you've probably heard stories of people being given the pill, again, inverted commas, to fix issues. And it was just kind of that, the need for knowledge, I think, that kind of drove me to really start talking about it more, I guess.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about that around the pill. We've had Dr. Caoimhe Hartley on a few times. She gave us some good information all around different contraceptive options. She talked in depth about the pill, but I'd love to hear your opinion on it and how it affects us as women. maybe that we don't even see what's happening over time, or we may think something's off, but we don't really put it down to that.
I think the first thing I want to make clear is, like, I'm not anti-birth control. I think some of my clients come to me like, I'm sorry, like, I'm on the pill. And I'm like, oh my God, you're grand. Like, it's amazing that we have that drug there to take if we want to. And brilliant, like, absolutely not anti-birth control. But I think it, again, is a lack of education. So I know when I went and got the pill back in the day, I wasn't sat down being like, this is how it works. You understand it's going to stop your egg releasing from your ovary, which means you're not going to ovulate. And what ovulation means is, it's not just how you get pregnant, it's how you make your hormones, right? So all of a sudden, we have two different hormones. We have our estrogen and we have our progesterone. And they shape everything from your mood, your energy, your sex drive, how strong you are in the gym, your appetite, your sleep, your bone health, your heart health. Like, it's not just, I would say ovulation is not just for making babies. So it's like the lack of awareness around your hormones and how much of an impact they can make. I have clients who've said to me, I come off the pill, say they got put in when they were, say, 15 for irregular cycles. Again, I'll put that in inverted commas, because even the bleed that you get on the pill isn't a period. It's not a period like our own period. It's just a pill bleed. It's a withdrawal bleed when you take your pill break. So that's something that a lot of people aren't aware of. Like, you know, people say to me, oh, I used to have irregular cycles and the pill fixed it. And this same girl then, you know, might have a lot of gut issues. Or I have a client say to me, I thought I was anxious and I come off birth control and I'm no longer anxious. And that was their personality for their whole teenage years. So I think there is not enough conversation around the side effects. It is a drug that you're on. I think it's very quick to say, oh, sure, just switch it off. Imagine telling a man, don't make any more testosterone. That would never happen.
It's so true. And I saw that post as well that you had put up about the pill, and that comment underneath, like, if you told all the side effects to a guy, they'd be like, I'm taking this.
You're like, are you mental? Yeah, absolutely not.
And people are taking it so that they won't get pregnant because they want to be able to have sex. But like, next thing you know, they don't even want to have sex.
I always say everyone's on the pill.
Turned it off.
And no one's having sex. Honestly, yeah, switching off your sex drive. And that's another big one. Like, the main two girls come to me are in, like, say they're like late teens, early 20s, let's say. And low libido is one of the questions on my consultation sheet. And they all tick it. And I'm like, we can't all have low sex drives. There's either we need to bring down what the norm is, or the common denominator I would often see is they're on the pill. And I'm so black and white with clients. Like, I have 300 herbs in my clinic. Imagine me coming out with like a libido tonic. How well would that sell? Do you know what I mean? But I'm not going to mislead people. I'm like, if you're on the pill, why would your body want to have sex? You can't get pregnant. You know, your body's like, well, you're in menopause, basically. You know, I would say, like, I know it's really dramatic, but you're making the same level of hormones as your granny is. So you're not going to see your granny having sex every day. Like, to get me, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's the lack of awareness around it. I think that's
really important.
It makes
so much sense when you say it like that. Just in black and white and be really clear, like, I agree completely. And I was the same myself. You know, when I went in when I was younger to get the pill, again, didn't suit me. I listened to my body. It came off it fairly quick. But I went around looking at other options. And the great thing is that there are loads of other options now available to us as women. So it's about trying to see what's working for you and what's not, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So when they come in, say, you know, if it's a hormonal, is there something that a lot of people are coming in for help? Would it be skin? What are the top three things that women are coming into you at the moment concerned about? Because we focus in our business on the menstrual cycle and also perimenopause and menopause. And we've noticed, obviously, menopause is in the zeitgeist for the past year. So do you find there's a lot of women coming in for help with their perimenopause and menopause? And is it as equal with menstrual?
Yeah, I think mine is probably more like PMS, like kind of like menstrual cycle issues, whether it's, we see a lot for heavy periods because there's not much you can do for heavy periods. Medically, that's where herbal medicine really like is just leaps above everything else. It's absolutely astonishing how powerful herbs can be for that. I work a lot with PCOS, so polycystic ovarian syndrome. I see a lot of endo clients. I work a lot with fertility, like the general PMS, the sore boobs, loads of skin we'd see as well. So kind of just mood imbalances, kind of everything you'd probably see, like typically is what we would see in the clinic. Like, it does vary quite a lot. But then again, it all is kind of similar, like hormonal gut issues are quite common as well, which kind of fall into it. So it's a lovely combination. You never have a dull day, that's for sure.
I'm sure not.
Yeah.
I saw your post on PMS and progesterone. Love to hear a little bit more about your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Progesterone. I'm always like, if we could bottle it, I would. It is the most amazing hormone when you see the science behind it. So first of all, you only make progesterone if you ovulate. So going back to being on the pill or being on any birth control that stops your period or stops ovulations, that'd be things like the mini pill, the pill, the bar, sometimes the coil, generally at the start it will stop it and then you'll start ovulating a few months later. The depot injection is another one. But anyway, so if anyone's listening and they're on any of them, this doesn't apply to you. But if you've ovulated, you will make progesterone generally. And progesterone helps with pain. So it's a natural painkiller. So like going to help with the sore boobs and the cramps and helps with acne. It's going to help with your mood. It's going to lighten your periods. And the goal is, like, imagine you had lighter periods but no PMS and your skin was great. You've no menstrual migraines. The goal.
The dream.
Like, yes.
That's what we want. Like, exactly.
All the time. Yeah.
That's what we want. And progesterone is the key here. So I'm like, the more progesterone you have, the more at the end of your cycle, the more your body's going to be able to manage those symptoms. But the whole problem is that stress really, really depletes our progesterone.
I think this is really interesting because you've spoken about this a lot on your podcast as well before about what robs your progesterone. Because I think you can't just assume you can just take a supplement or take a herbal tonic and for it just to be like, ding. You have to consider the other things you're doing in your life with your stress and your sleep and your nutrition and exercise and a bit of mindfulness or meditation, these other little things that you can do to try and help yourself feel better. Because explain a bit more about what robs the progesterone.
Yeah, so I would say like it's the main hormone that's going to get converted into either cortisol or gets converted into progesterone, give or take, right? If we're talking the basics today. But never underestimate even how much emotional stress can have on your body. Like I always use myself as an example, because obviously like me being a nutritionist, I work with hormones every day. I'm pretty on the ball with what I do. And COVID, so March 2020, I was due to get married 8 weeks later in Portugal. Yeah. And I diet hadn't changed. Obviously, I'm like a bride in a mission, right? So obviously I'm taking my supplements in the gym. Nothing had changed. Diet was brilliant on my herbs. And I got my period on day 23 that month. So day 23 is a really short cycle. It's like as if you definitely, so I would say when you run out of progesterone, you get your period. So if someone does have cycles less than say 24 days less, it's definitely short. So the only difference for me that month was emotional stress. I was up the walls. I was closing the clinic and the wedding was being rescheduled. And it was such a good eye opener to be like, oh my God, this really does impact your hormones. And the word I always use, stress, in terms of clients, people are like, no, I'm not stressed. I'm fine. And I'm like, oh, okay, are you busy? And they're like, oh God, yeah, I'm up the walls.
Yeah.
So I think as women, we even associate the word stress with being miserable and being upset and coming home and having a cry or being overwhelmed. But like the same cortisol is kicking in, whether you're being chased by a tiger, whether you're back-to-back calls, running around, even if it's good stress, do you know what I mean? So it's just about looking after yourself. And like then, Renee, like you were saying, making sure you have the downtime, like what are you doing then on the other side to help support stress levels, whether it's mindfulness, going for your walk, like reading your book, doing something that actually helps you unwind. Going for a run after work isn't always the best way to de-stress. Even though you feel amazing afterwards, it is actually triggering more stress hormones. So it's just about being aware of even other things. Coffee is another really big one as well. Like, you know what I mean? We love having our morning coffee. And I've seen a lot of women who will fast in the morning. Like they get up and have their coffee and then eat at 11 or 12. And they're kind of running on caffeine all morning in a busy job. And they're like, oh, but I'm not hungry till 11 or 12. And I'm like, yeah, but your body's running on stress hormones the whole morning. So just simple things like that. It's, you know, it's more than just being unhappy, I would say, or feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah, I think that one's really interesting. It's like having that holistic approach to it and just to try and tick all those little boxes where you can just to make yourself feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. Your own little checklist of things that make you, that you need, I'd say.
Yeah. I know a lot of people have problems with their skin, with coming off the pill, or maybe they go on the pill because of the skin issue. And sometimes they're afraid to come off the pill in case it all comes back. And I suppose what's happening and what can they do to improve it? Or is it really gut related? I know for some people it can be related to dairy. How do they bring more balance in a situation like that?
I think, like kind of what you said there, like number one, figure out the root cause. Everyone is very, very different when it comes to acne. If you were someone who was put on the pill to fix your skin, the skin is stunning, or the pill is stunning for skin. Brilliant. Clears it up, mostly for as long as you're on it. So the pill hasn't addressed why your skin was bad. So generally, unless people have had a drastic lifestyle change, they'll probably need to address that when they come off it. Like we would work with a lot of clients who want to come off the pill, basically, to support their skin doing that. So if it's hormones, like, you know, I kind of think the real cystic under the skin, painful acne, bad the whole month is kind of linked with maybe excess androgens, like excess testosterone. If it's kind of more acne breaking around your period, you know, it's more kind of linked to PMS that we just mentioned there, that'd be kind of more linked with lack of progesterone. Is stress a factor for you? The common denominator, no matter what hormone is at play here, is your gut health, like you mentioned there. So the way you get your hormones is you poo them out. So yes, you will
this
not.
This is what I wanted to talk about, fiber and getting them all out.
If you are constipated, not gone anywhere, like you're going to have major issues. That's the first thing I look at, whether you're coming for fertility, coming with heavy periods, coming with acne, coming with PMS. It's gut health first and foremost. To touch on the dairy side of things as well, it's kind of something I feel sorry for dairy. It's kind of dairy and gluten get the blame with everything. But there is, and I've seen phenomenal results when taking clients off dairy, but cow's milk doesn't cause acne. Otherwise we'd all have acne. Like, do you get me? That it's kind of something that if it did cause it, we'd all be walking around, anyone who's eating it, that is. But there is certain people definitely that react to cow's milk, and I always call them snotty kids. So it's the people generally, you know, obviously it's not based on scientific
studies. I'm one of
here.
These.
Oh, like, you're a snotty kid.
I would have been a snotty kid. And like, I had used to get sore tonsils. I had eczema when I was very small. Like, the snottiness, I'd react easily. And I've swapped over. I don't have any dairy anymore. I know it gives me a headache when I get it. If I have any concentrated forms like whey or cheese or sour cream or those sort of things, ice cream, I'd wake up with a headache behind my right eye the next morning. Yeah. It's like a given. But I don't really have much of that anymore. But it can make a huge difference for people that are reactors.
100%.
Yeah, it took me long enough to admit to myself that it was it that was causing it. But I feel like I'm so much less puffy, and I will have oat milk in my tea or coffee and it's fine, or any other plant-based milk. But I feel like a lot of people are reactors and they just don't know that they are.
Yeah, I always say it lights fires. So that word in, you know, puffy makes sense. So the fancy word is inflammation. Yeah, lights fires. So it's like kids, excess mucus, ear, nose, throat, tonsils. Yeah. As you get older, it turns things like, you know, eczema, psoriasis, hay fever is massive in there with your cow's milk, acne, heavy periods, PMS, generally ones in family. So guarantee your dad suffers with hay fever every year, or your cousin also has really bad eczema or something like that. It's normally your family, you'll see it go through it. And those are the people that I look at for cow's milk. If you come to me and you're like, no, I'm grand and I drink whey, I've never had any issues. Or, do you get me? It's kind of just, you gauge it when you're in a consultation. But it's got to do with the protein in the milk, which is so interesting, which means if you were to eat like feta cheese, which is from sheep's milk or sheep's milk yogurt or goat's milk or buffalo mozzarella, you know, goat's cheese, anything that's not from a cow is generally fine. So it kind of gives people are like, oh my God, I can still have cheese, just not cheddar. And I'm like, yeah, they're like, okay, fab, I can eat my feta. So it's a little bit easier. It's not like they're full blown dairy free, which is a bit more difficult. It's just the cow's milk to try and reduce and people start. So that's definitely, if you're someone's listening, like, oh my God, it's me to a tea, do try reduce it. And you might, like, even like you were saying, the puffiness, it might not even be skin. It could just be that word, like inflammation. You might notice it in other areas and not realize how much it's actually impacting you.
Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by our very own brand, Key for Her. Whether you're feeling the effects of menopause or your menstrual cycle, discover what's key for you in less than 5 minutes with tailored supplement recommendations, information and insights on keyforher.com.
Please have 20% off on us by using the promo code KEYPODCAST in all capitals.
One other thing I wanted to touch back on as well was, you're probably like, hello, my name's Aisling. How many poos do you do a day? And the importance of fiber. And I suppose for years, it was always like, how many carbs are you taking and fats and sugars and all this sort of stuff? But there's so many more people talking now about the importance of fiber and how important it is for your overall gut health. And how many poos are you supposed to be doing a day? And why fiber is so important to help your body to get rid of those used up and excess hormones, and that if you are constipated, you need to really look at the reasons why and what else it could be causing, because I'm a big advocate for this.
Yeah, even immune system. If you are constipated, your body is not working the way it should be. It's toxic waste. You want to get rid of that as quickly as possible. So again, let's figure out the root of the problem. Food intolerances, is it stress? Is it lack of fiber? And fiber, as much as associated with pooing, which it is, so I even say to clients who like eat really well, like let's say you get up on Saturday, you don't have the normal breakfast, you have one big brunch at 2 o'clock, they might have a later dinner, you're not eating as much over the weekends, the odd time. And then people are like, oh, I didn't really go to the toilet that day. I'm like, yeah, because you had nothing to poo out. That's normal. Even people with the best digestion, if you're not eating the fiber, well, do you know what I mean? Nothing has to come out. So yes, it's kind of for your stools, but also it feeds your gut bacteria, your gut microbiome. It's a whole world of different types of bacteria, and they're all beneficial bacteria. They help everything from making our mood hormones to helping with our immune system. And I always say, imagine each different types of fruit and vegetable feeds a different type of gut bacteria. So like if you're someone who only buys peppers and mushrooms every week in your shop, your poor broccoli gut fiber is dying in the corner. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Or so having the variety is really important. In terms of how many poos you do a day, I actually think it's more the quality over quantity. Like you could do 5 poos a day and it's rabbit poo, that little kind of palace. Or you could do 3 poos a day and they're loose stools. So what we want is like a proper long kind of snake solid poo that, again, getting graphic here, but like you almost don't need to wipe to know that's really good poos. You're like, I'm so healthy. And we'd say at least one a day. Like some people can go twice a day. You know, if I get my clients every second day and we work up to once a day, you're kind of doing well. But like the goal is at the minimum kind of once a day, a proper fully formed stool. There's actually called the Bristol stool chart. So I don't know if you've seen that before.
Yeah, and I have, yeah.
Yeah, even for people, it's Bristol stool chart. It's basically literally a poo chart. And it goes as like different levels of it. And I get clients to tell me which one they are. Because I'm like, no, I'm really good. I poo every day. And they look at it and like, oh yeah, I'm actually type 1 or 2, which would be quite constipated. It's like that little kind of, it's quite,
rabbit, you know,
like
poo.
Like rabbit poo. So it's just something they don't realize. Or I have even had people before and they don't do constipation on my form. And then they're like, oh, I poo every like 5 days. And I'm like, you're constipated? I'm like, no, I've always been like that though. Yeah. So they don't know anything different. So they don't think there's anything wrong. Do you know?
I think that's normal for them because that's all that
they've always done it. Right. Yeah.
I mean, well, I suppose until someone stops and talks to you about how many poos you do during the day, something you normally talk to people about.
Meet your friend for a coffee. Like, how many poos have you done this week? So it is something that we just don't really talk about.
No, and it needs to be talked about because, like you said, that's the toxic waste leaving your body. And if that stays in there, that is not good, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So can that bring on more problems with acne and other issues?
Absolutely. So one of the ways our hormones get broken down is by pooing it out. So if your stools are sitting there for 2 or 3 days longer than they should, estrogen is the main hormone there that gets reabsorbed. And I mentioned earlier estrogen in terms of your mood, your energy, your sex drive, your motivation. And estrogen makes you happy and horny, I always say, but it also makes your boobs sore. And it makes your periods heavy and it gives you that water retention and the swelling. So we want that right amount. And if you're constantly causing that reabsorption of estrogen, I guarantee it's not making you more horny. It's making your periods heavier. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of link there between your hormones and gut health. So no matter how much herbal medicine I give to someone, if they're not going to the toilet, that's not going to do anything. You know, so it's really, really important.
I think one thing you said there a minute ago as well, when you were talking as an example of what vegetables people might be eating like every day, we tend to be creatures of habit. And even though technically someone might be eating like a healthy diet, some people tend to stick to the same foods because they're convenient all the time. And like that, they keep getting the same veg, but there's not enough of variety in it.
Yeah. There's foods called prebiotic foods as well. And prebiotic foods actually feed your gut health, feed all the good guys. Now, all foods are good, but foods like your apples, your leeks, your onions, your garlic, artichoke are in there. Like how often we eat artichokes, do you know what I mean? I said bananas today. Bananas are in there, which is kind of an easy one. So it's just a matter of making sure you use your garlic overnight cooking. Like you could do apple in a smoothie or have a snack. And it's just keeping those in your asparagus section there as well, which is quite good. So it's kind of just, you know, have your core and then make sure you're changing
it
every spot. And I do it myself. It's so easy when you're busy. Like, you know, the whole thing of decision fatigue. If you just go in, you know, where everything is, supermarket, fire in the trolley, like you're not going to be like, what vegetable did I not have last week? You know, one vegetable in particular, it's really good for hormones and so easy, is raw carrot.
Yeah.
The raw carrot also helps reduce the circulation of estrogens in your system. So like, so easy, right up into a salad, carrots and hummus as a little snack. Like, so it's such an easy thing. I often have carrots as I'm making dinner if I'm a bit hangry. And really good way to just help your hormones.
You kind of forget about carrots though as well. I know you had done a TikTok on it at one stage, Donna, but in our house, there was still a bit of a carrot left out over Christmas, a raw one, because Rudolph had nibbled it a bit and left some there on the little tray. So the next morning, I had a little bit of the carrot and I had forgotten how nice raw carrot was. Mm. And sometimes I'd buy them already chopped up in the bag. And by the time you eat them from the bag that are all chopped up and pre-prepared, they've gotten a bit dry and they've lost their sweetness. There's something lovely about just chopping up a fresh carrot and nibbling on it. They're actually lovely. I'd forgotten.
For sure.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll all just have to turn into rabbits.
Just going back and talking about menstrual health, if you could just explain to our listeners the best way to understand their menstrual cycles, because I think a lot of women just haven't been educated well on how it works. And maybe if you could just give them a quick run through. and how maybe if they are experiencing extreme symptoms, you know, of PMS, how maybe they could start to help themselves.
So crash course biology lesson 101.
Here we go.
AOK Nutrition School. So I would always say, first of all, day one of your period is a day of your first proper bleed. So misconception is a day someone will get spotting and they're marking that as their start of the cycle and their proper flow might not start for 2 or 3 days later. So make sure you're always going from the day of your first proper period or first proper bleed. So the first half of your cycle from the day you get your period up until you ovulate is your estrogen phase. And I'm sure everyone listening will agree, like once you get your period, your mood does improve. Fair enough, you might be a bit crampy and you're a bit like, ugh. But like generally you don't feel that really flat.
Oh my God, I need some, yeah,
like why are they chewing so loud? Like irritation kind of thing. So your estrogen, like I mentioned earlier, is that real kind of get up and go hormones, like your energy, your mood, your motivation, that press you've been putting off clearing out is going to clear out this week. Like you're kind of more just up and at them, I would say, right? So that's when we have the right amount of estrogen. But I mentioned a few minutes ago, though, excess estrogen is the heavy periods, is the sore boobs, is the constipation before your period, it's the water retention, it's the fibroids, that kind of thing. And cow's milk massively increased estrogen as well. So now we're talking about that from skin. And this is why estrogen can come in here and or cow's milk comes in here and throw off your estrogen levels. So again, if you're a snotty kid, perhaps looking at cow's milk here might be important for you to kind of help reduce your estrogen levels. Next, to help estrogen, we've mentioned there your carrots, like the raw carrot. There's foods called phytoestrogens, and phytoestrogens, I always imagine like sponges that will come in and mop up your hormones. So these are things like your oats and your seeds and your lentils and your chickpeas and all those plant-based proteins. I think sometimes in Ireland, we're not great at eating like, you know, Irish mammy dinners.
Gross. They're fierce, exotic.
Yeah, this is the thing.
They like, have those in Dons back in the day.
Absolute notions. I know this thing. So, you know, just having like hummus or adding flocks to a salad or throwing lentils into a stir fry or chickpeas or just trying to get them more in our radar because it is something that we're just not used to because it just wasn't, like I said, growing up in Ireland, most people didn't have them. But they're really, really important.
And they're widely available now.
And they're so full cheap. Of fiber.
Yeah, so full of fiber.
You, Renee, stop talking about fiber.
Yeah, no, Jeremy. Yeah, everything you just mentioned, like they literally are ticking all the boxes. So I would say get more sponges in to mop up the estrogen that's there. Reduce any excess estrogen coming in by, say, looking at cow's milk. Your environmental toxins are so important here. Like this is equally fascinating and terrifying, I would say. There's things called xenoestrogens, and they come from things like cosmetics, they come from plastic is the big one. So BPA, which is a plastic, it's a hormone disruptor. So it comes into the body and our body's like, okay, don't really know what this is. Fuck it, just make it into estrogen. But again, it's the estrogen that makes your boobs sore and your period's heavy, not the happy and horny estrogen. So a lot of women without realizing it, like if you're drinking from the same plastic water bottle every day, if you're using plastic lunch boxes, if you're cooking with plastic utensils, if you're using one thing people hear this is tinned foods, like aluminium. You know, a chemical as well in itself. So if you're, say, using your chopped tomatoes from a tin, switch to a carton, like really easy tweaks you can kind of do there. That's why we say reducing your toxic load, trying to just get rid of any excess kind of chemicals coming into your system. And as women, again, we bombard ourselves between the tan and the moisturizer and the deodorants and the perfumes and try and go
scented candles. Don't get me started on them. If someone has them in their house and I walk in, I kind of just walk by really quietly and go, I'm blessed.
I know. Like, oh. Or do you know the new things that squirt every half an hour? I'm like literally kind of shocked. I'm like trying to dodge it in someone's house, like, but imagine so stuff like that, that you just, so I would say like switch to natural deodorant, look at your body butters you're using. If you wear fake tan all the time, go for more natural fake tan. Like there's loads of little tweaks you can do without having to throw out everything in your
You can do it over time as well. You don't have to do it all, like don't go out and throw out every single piece of makeup and tan you have in the house, but maybe start looking at how you can replace things over time.
So sorry, going back to recycle then. So kind of went off on a tangent there, but that's the whole goal with estrogen, trying to make sure we have the right amount. Once estrogen peaks, you ovulate, which is when your egg gets released from your ovary. You're fertile for about 24 hours, give or take, for most women. The whole thing here, though, is sperm lives for 5 days, 5 or 6 days. So this is the fertile window. So the egg lives for 24 hours, but sperm can be floating around 5 days earlier. Waiting to pounce, you know, so
6 days there.
I would give yourself 6 days. Yeah, exactly. If you don't want to be on contraceptives and you want to just prevent getting pregnant by tracking your cycle, this is the 6 days you need to be careful of. And then once you've ovulated, like I mentioned earlier, you'll make progesterone. And the main thing that affects progesterone is stress. So other things, like we said, your caffeine intake, your exercise, obviously day-to-day stress is a massive one. Blood sugar imbalances, absolutely essential. If you were getting hangry every 3 hours during the day, you're literally letting yourself, your blood sugars drop and you're triggering cortisol, which is stress. So making sure you're eating little and often, don't go too long on an eating. And even more importantly, protein with all of your meals is how we make balanced meals. That, like, I always say your Irish mammy dinners. Yeah. So like if you went to your nana, she'd be like, I have salmon there now, a bit of chicken, pork chops now on. Imagine your nana served me a bowl of potatoes and nothing else. You'd just be
wouldn't
like,
happen.
Wouldn't happen. And yet you would have porridge breakfast on its own.
Yeah.
People have a slice of toast for breakfast or smoothies. Like, imagine having a bowl of vegetables for dinner. Actually, vegetable soup is another one I always have to mention on podcasts because people always eat vegetable soup. Vegetable soup is a bowl of vegetables and a glass of water. Do you know what I mean? So people have that at lunchtime and they're full for an hour. They have that with a slice of bread.
They're not getting the protein in, right?
No protein. And then by 4 o'clock, they're starving and they're back in the kitchen then looking for a cup of tea with 8 biscuits. Because when blood sugars crash, you crave sugar. Your body knows that's going to make me feel better. So just little things like that, looking at blood sugars is also really, really important for hormones.
Okay.
It's like a hormonal roller coaster. And then towards the end of the cycle, and talk about a bit more about PMS and what kind of symptoms that they can possibly experience coming back up to the end of the cycle and before they get their next period.
Yeah. So the goal is, like, we get a period and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot I got my period today. That's mad, you know, yeah. And that's manageable. Like, I'm sure, well, hopefully you as well, especially yeah, taking your supplements. Yeah. You get it. And you're like, oh, that's great. You shouldn't
that's
have
the number one thing. Actually, we hear from customers taking Kefir Menstrual. It's like, it just appeared and I didn't even know it was coming. I think that's number one thing we get feedback on. And that's where you want to be, right?
Defo. And that's the way it should be. We're not designed to have horrific periods. Your body knows what it's doing. It's just battle against everything else we're throwing at it. So let's just help it out a little bit. So PMS, premenstrual syndrome, or PMT is really the kind of word you'll hear. Everyone is quite different as well. So, like, some people know they're getting their period because they get a headache before. Some people's boobs are sore for a week before. Sometimes people get breakouts. Sometimes you might get low mood or lack of energy. Your appetite might be through the roof. You've sleep issues. So it's kind of different for everyone, I think. Mm. But the main way that no matter what your symptom is, the way to fix it is the same. And I think it fascinates me. I'm like, why was this not drilled into us from the ages of 11? So whether you're 40 or whether you're 12, fix for PMS is the same.
Yeah.
And it's not hard. Do you know what I mean? It's balancing your stress level. So, like, supplements come in here as well. And I always say, like, you can't supplement a bad diet, like, you know, as you guys know. And even me talking about me with COVID that time and my supplements hadn't changed, and yet my period came to age 24. Like, no amount of magnesium would have saved me there, do you know? Mm-hmm. But supplements can be really helpful to help support your lifestyle. So I just mentioned there, I'm absolutely obsessed with magnesium. I think it's one of the most important supplements for women. It has about 300 functions in the body. And I'd say most people are low in it. I know that's like a sweeping statement, but I'd be confident and in standing by that because it's depleted by stress levels. So it's really important. Every single cell in your body needs magnesium. It makes energy and it also helps you relax. So, like, it's this kind of almost like a chameleon. Yeah, exactly.
It's a whole kind of supplement.
And so I think, like, from growing up, and maybe it was just the way we thought always, and a lot of women still think they just have to put up with this and that's normal, and that being in a lot of pain every month and having bad symptoms is just part of being a woman. And that we have to go through all that, but that's not really the case. Obviously, there's parts of things that you can't avoid, like childbirth and all those things. They're painful and you have to go through them. But I think every month you shouldn't be crippled, right? And it shouldn't be affecting your everyday life.
I would always say, think of your period like your month report card. So, like, we're recording this in January. I don't know when it's coming out, but if everyone thinks back to their period after Christmas, I bet you it was a little bit more painful than normal. Your boobs might have been a bit sore than usual. It maybe did get that one or two breakouts because the month before January was Christmas. And Christmas was celebrations on a Tuesday at 11 o'clock in the morning. And it was not eating dinners. And I probably wasn't going for as many walks as normal. And maybe had an extra bit of coffee, alcohol. So our lifestyles were very different those couple of weeks. And generally that period, the month report card of what you've done the month before is a reflection of that.
I love that. That's such a good way to think of it.
Yeah.
You are actually like the queen of analogies and you help everyone understand everything so much better. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly the way.
I think it's important to try and understand it. So even someone who, like, I have clients like, oh, my period is so good last month, I'm feeling brilliant. And next month, like, oh, Ash, I'm so disheartened. it's really bad again this month. And I'm like, how's your month? And they're like, oh, actually, to be honest, like, I'm moving house, or I was actually going for this job interview, or the death of the family. Or they can almost be like, oh, actually, that's why that happened. I was on holidays. Oh, I didn't take my herbs. I ran out of supplements. Whatever it is, generally, there's a reason why. And it's the education around that. Because the first thing I say to my clients is, this is not a 12-week transformation program. There's no end goal here. There's no, great, you've done that, now go back to the way you're eating. Because most of my clients are going to have periods next, say, 20 years. So it's like understanding what goes wrong and then trying your best every single day to try and help that. And some weeks will be great and some weeks will be awful, you know?
Yeah.
Just be good to yourself whenever you can. It's never going to be perfect every day, but try and get back on the bandwagon each day. Yeah. And give it your best effort, right?
And then you can understand it. So if you did have PMS that month, you'd be like, well, that actually makes sense, because I'm looking at all the things that I didn't have any plant-based proteins last month. The ones I actually forgot to mention were green vegetables. So like your brassica family, your cruciferous veg, like your cauliflower, your kale, your cabbage, Brussels sprouts, broccoli. They're so, so important for estrogen detoxification. So if you're eating broccoli once a week, it's probably not enough. You know what I mean? And it's like, even people are like, oh no, I hate greens. And I'm like, well, it's saying, okay, well, you're not going to eat them. You have to accept there's only a certain level of PMS we can fix then. It's like kind of people just having the knowledge and understanding the limitations with that as well, if they're not willing to do it, you know?
Yeah, there has to be a bit of give and take if you really genuinely want to feel better. There was only two more things that we wanted to touch on before the end. There's a lot of people using, oh my God, that's a big water bottle. Fair play to you. Are you going to get it all
2.2
in?
And this is steel, this water bottle. But it makes me drink it. I'll fill it up. No, I'm not in the clinic today, but most of the time I have no water in the clinic. So I will bring this in. But it is, it's 1.2 liters, size of my head. And it's great. It makes me drink it.
What I was going to say is natural cycles. A lot of people are using that as an option now for contraception. And it's a way of tracking your cycle, but just taking your temperature with a very, I suppose, specific thermometer that shows you exactly what your temperature is. I think that's an interesting one. It gives you more options, I suppose, to be able to track it as well. And my next thing as well is, what are your three key tips for optimal hormonal health?
Ooh,
we're really springing this on you now. I suppose, what are the kind of most important things that you'd say?
Number one most important is look at your stressors. And not even, oh, that guy in work drives me mad. It's actually the life of things you do every, like I mentioned, the coffee. I used to get up in the morning and make myself a coffee and do emails 2 hours and then have breakfast. And the reason I had breakfast, because I was like, yesterday I'm starving, my hands would be shaking. I need to get something to eat. My blood sugars have crashed and I'm starving all of a sudden. And not only did I get up in the morning, right, have to start work, cortisol kicks in, have a cup of coffee, cortisol kicks in.
So you just stress from the minute you get up?
Like I'd be sitting here, my music in the background, working away. I'm not sitting here with heart palpitations, feeling stressed. But that habit would really impact someone's hormones, because you're just triggering cortisol. Or people get up and do like a HIIT workout before work and then like have a coffee afterwards and then eat breakfast at 11 o'clock. And like what I'm saying now, that's going to be literally hundreds of women be like, I do that all the time. So I'd say, when I say think of your stress, don't even just think about what makes you emotionally stressed. Look at the habits you do every day. Am I waiting until I'm starving every day to eat? Am I doing HIIT workouts all the time? Like HIIT workouts are so intense for your body. Like I was like, you going for a run or you've been chased by a tiger? Like, which one is it? So I'd say look at stress is probably the first thing. Second thing is probably, right, we were saying like the fiber, like look at gut health. So trying to get more. And I hate that the answer. It's so like non-sexy and boring. Like eat your fruit and veg.
I'm obsessed with it now.
We all say it. Like nutritionists have been saying that for years. It's never going to change. It's like the basics of health 101 is like eat a variety of different things. So next time you're in the shop this week, like kiwis are really good for constipation. So I give my clients 2 kiwis a day. Flax seeds are another really good source of fiber. Switching from white rice to brown rice, having more oats in your diet instead of cornflakes. Like there's real kind of simple tweaks you can make diet-wise. So making sure you're going to the toilet, managing stress. What other kind of thing, main thing for hormones? What a third one? Maybe supplements, maybe not for everyone. Maybe eat your greens. Again, kind of a boring answer. Maybe supplements. Like magnesium, I think, is quite a safe one probably for everyone to take. That if you're dipping your toe in the water, obviously your supplements as well have everything in it. You know what I mean? That if you feel like you're doing everything and I need more of a helping hand, like supplements are there. Like I always talk about herb medicine for myself personally. And I'm like, oh God, there's no way I can function at the level I can function at if I wasn't taking herb. There's just no way. I know there's no way. And in one sense, it's almost probably like a crutch because I can work all day and you know what I mean? I'll be wrecked at the end of the day, but I feel like they keep me well when really if I didn't have them, I probably would just be sick, which is my body being like, Ash, slow down. Do you get me? So it's probably a good thing and a bad thing for me. But supplements can be really helpful as well if need. If you feel like you're doing everything and just need something else. Yeah.
And bring you to, I suppose, another level, because like what you said at the start, you could like living on a level 7 and you thought that was as far as it went, and it can help to like bring you up that little bit more to get help you, I suppose, be more focused at work or have more energy so you're just not feeling wrecked all the time. Yeah, and those little simple tweaks can make a huge difference.
Well, we'll be all off in Aldi, Lidl and Dunnes now with a trolley full of veg and salads and flax seeds, and also I'm going to get some kiwis as well.
Kiwis. So, yeah, all your broccoli, all your greens. Yeah.
I think people need to get a notebook out when they listen to this. So they write down all the mass amount of tips you gave. Thank you so much for joining us today. That was incredible.
You are so welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
We really wanted to do this chat with you for so long. So thanks a million for coming
on.
How can people find you?
Yeah, so my Instagram's AOK Nutrition. My website's also AOK Nutrition. I also have my own podcast, which is called Spilling the Tea with AOK Nutrition. And the podcast, what I kind of do is trying to go into each individual topic. So like I have a whole topic on, whole episode on, say, birth control, on heavy periods, whole nitty-gritty one on PMS. That was like the crash course we just did. But definitely if people just want a little bit more info on it, pop over to my Instagram. All the links are there.
And that's what it's all about, informing yourself. And more knowledge you have, you have more control over what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Super. Thank you so much,
Ashley.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Key for Her podcast. We'd be so grateful if you could hit subscribe, rate, and share this podcast with your friends.
For tips, tricks, and hacks on all things perimenopause, menopause, periods, menstrual cycles, and skin health, follow us at Key for Her on TikTok and Instagram.
Check out our website, keyforher.com, for more information.